SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. A kind of a catch-all weekend, obviously, with a lot of the fall season activity toward Breeders' Cup behind us. Certainly didn't take away from some entertaining action and some, particularly some Euro dominance. That came at Woodbine, of course. Desert Encounter in that Canadian International. And Sheikh Areca in the E.P. Taylor. The North American set was not completely denied. Hembree won that near Arctic. And, well, of course, the Ontario Derby wasn't going to be invaded, but Mark Cassey won two in there, looking to strike. And that was the big dollar items, as well as the QE2, of course, and Rushing Fall. 2-5? Come on. And, you know, 2-5 and just allowed to basically lope along. And that one was never in doubt. Castellano. So lots of other stake action, a lot of state bred programs. Another couple of those this weekend, actually, Oklahoma and New York. We talked about Ohio on Friday. Thistledown, the Best of Ohio program, and also the Breeders' Classics. I really was remiss not including Charlestown's West Virginia slate. And that was a nice card too at Chucktown. Well, plenty to do, and talk about Friday's results too. You had a Stronach 5 that ended up very interesting, actually. And I didn't put up a play because I wasn't confident, but we'll go over it with Johnny. Hour two, it's such a strange sequence every week so far, these 3 weeks. And this thing paid very well if you played it and hit it. I mean, close to four. And the thing that held me back, I think I said on Thursday and into Friday, was that race at Laurel. And sure enough, that was the race that proved an undoing. It even got the single home in the nightcap. Amuse, the Mandela. I mean, this is another week you did not have a horse over 6-1. Chris's Wildcat was $14 at Santa Anita, who, you know, was one of the ones. I mentioned that one with Tom Quigley. But, you know, the two Gulfstream horses were absolutely, you were going to use. The one that got me was at Laurel, that Olive K. And I don't know. I guess I leaned toward I thought maybe the unraced or the second time starters. I don't know how I didn't include Olive Cat. I had six horses I thought could win the 1, 3, 5, 7, 8, 9, and you look at a maiden race that is nondescript, and you find yourself gravitating to in a couple of cases, you know, the unraced, and it just I mean, this horse won. That horse was third choice, and I no excuse to not have him on the ticket. I really wasn't. I was pretty, especially when I had to sit there and watch the single win. Like a single went off at 3-2. The Mandela Claiborne runner and won like a rushing fall. Won like a 2-5 shot. The final number, $3,629. And so between the tricky nature, the dollar increment, and the low takeout, it's paid well. It's paid very well. And this one was absolutely eminently hittable, and I'm anxious to hear how Johnny did. The weather continues to just drive everybody crazy, and the turf courses. I talked to Andy yesterday briefly. We were coming back from Central New York, and there's a real chance with what is there, 2 weeks left at Belmont, and I wouldn't have thought of this, there's a chance that they're going to go the entire Belmont fall meet. Think about this. September, October, 2 months of racing without a single day where the turf is listed as firm. Every single day it has been less than firm or simply just off. There are over 100 races now since the start of Saratoga. It's unbelievable. And yesterday, it's funny. Yesterday, even with off the turf, you still got a carryover. And yesterday, a little surprising that I was kind of keeping an eye on things coming back yesterday, and $32,000 carryover into Wednesday. And that's despite a couple of horses in this, a couple of the races in the sequence coming off the turf. There was a $26 winner and a $16 winner, and that was enough. That was enough to carry this sequence over. Regarding the Belmont action, too, that stake yesterday, the point of entry over soft turf. Hello, Don Julio. In fact, there were two stake winners at Belmont Saturday, Sunday. Hello, Don Julio and Fire Key. We talked to Pat Kelly after Fire Key went down to Maryland. She is snapped back. And after three summer performances that were just awful and really, I don't know if Pat has got a set explanation, but he did say to me Saturday afternoon after the race, because I watched it and texted him, and he said she's back, and she sure is. She came flying and over the top and wins that Floral Park. And Pat rode back with Julian Pimentel. Really nice. And then yesterday, hello, Don Julio, a horse I always enjoy. He's had interrupted at times in his career. He's got kind of an intermittent career. But is always, from the time he was two, had good form. And Michael Dilger has just kept him good. And, when he's right, he's excellent, and what a nice win this was. He was going to be favored and only paid $4 and change, but hello, Don Julio, with another nice effort, and the two of them both. I thought that was a nice kind of pairing. And also on Saturday in the Pebbles, Stella de Camelot, the import that Chad Brown sent out for the partnership of Sal Kumin and Michael Dubb, Mike Caruso, Kent Spellman, and coming off of the Maison Lafitte performance, Stella de Camelot makes her North American debut successful. Came running. And Dina Del Sur is second in here for Tom Albertrani. I've always kind of liked her. And the one we talked about with Christophe Clement, Victorine, who went off favored, a little over 3-2. Ends up third. Got Stormy, came back. Been away since July. Just kind of went around, and the little three-race win streak goes by the board, so she'll have to reboot. Cassie with a mixed bag kind of over the weekend, in fact. Yesterday at Santa Anita, how about the American Pharoah sister? Chasing yesterday, she gets her first stake win after a little bit of a, I guess we can call it a hiccup, when she came to Saratoga. Wins the Enochia, and Love a Honey Badger. I love it. Wins for Peter Miller. And Tiago Pereira, I mentioned last week, I brought that up with Quigley. Pereira, another stake win in that Cal Distaff. Peter Miller winning races by the handful. Talked to him last week. Never even got to Love a Honey Badger. Love a Honey Badger makes me laugh. Joe Sharp won the Ruling Angel. We're going to talk to Joe, who won at least four races over the weekend in three different venues. We'll talk to Joe. He's got Syracuse and the Valley View at the end of the week. Keeneland. Got the Sycamore, too, on Thursday. Got a lot of good maiden races at Keeneland coming up. We have a fun conversation in hour two, I'm looking forward to, because Natalie Fox, David Fox's daughter, and a top-notch exercise rider in her own right, she saddled her first winner. We'll talk to Natalie. That'll be fun. Happy for her. I've known her a long time, since she was... Well, let's see. Got to be going back to, I don't know. It's got to be over, it's over 10 years. It's more than that. Closer to 15. She was a little girl. Rusty Arnold's going to join us. Catch up with Rusty on Concrete Rose. Getting ready for the Juvenile Philly Turf. Mike Maker. I mentioned Embry. We'll talk to Mike in hour two. Guy Torsiglieri. It is Far Hills Grand National Week Saturday. Let's take a quick break. Plenty more after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Lady Gaga, my love is more than it seems.
Woke up, don't recognize a bed. Took me a minute to clear my head. I try to recall it, but the blanks won't fill. Kind of was rolling, but I forgot.
We're back at the races. Just getting a little confirmation. David Simcock is going to join us too. And David, of course, sent out Desert Encounter. And he will be shipping Lightning Spear for the Breeders' Cup Mile. And, of course, as we were kind of hinting at on Friday, the serious work begins now. And keeping close tabs on who's yes and who's no, that's kind of what I was doing yesterday, coming back from Hamilton. And I see that Andre Farb, in fact, on that front, he's set with both Talismanic and Waldgeist. They both are going to contest the turf, and he's waiting for owner decision on Cloth of Stars. An OD! a classic Jim Cassidy OD, owner decision. So Fabra with a chance potentially to send three in the turf if Cloth of Stars participates, but he's set with Talismanic and Waldgeist and more. He's got that Kite Surf for the filly and mare turf. This is our charge this week, is pruning and making sure we got a handle on everybody involved. So excited to have David Simcock. I tried. Who did he win with? I should look that up. He won with somebody. In fact, I think he had two wins at Woodbine 2 years ago. In advance of his visit, I will be sure to pull that up. I mentioned to you Friday that the weekend was going to be a little focused away from the racing action. We'll get back in the swing of things. Well, we go Far Hills on Saturday, of course, and looking forward to talking to Guy Torsiglieri. And it's going to be supposed to be a nice week, and then Saturday he's got a little bit of at least the advance forecast a little iffy. So I hope that because it's supposed to be very nice between now and the end of the week, and that might give everybody a chance to get their turf races back in. Then on Saturday, because Tina said, what do you think? And I looked it up, and a little like a 50-60% weather chance for Saturday. So we'll hope that the good weather maybe gets delayed 24 hours and pushes through till Saturday so that they can have a perfect day at Bedminster. We've been there for everything. We've been there for sunny and warm. We've been there for cool and kind of dank and misty wet. So that part of the, it's part of the scene when you go to a hunt meet steeplechase event, and there's none bigger than Saturdays, and there's still plenty of time. Far Hills race meeting, make plans if you haven't already, and I'm sure a lot of you already have coordinated. Our trip out to Hamilton was just so much fun, and saw my goddaughter and her baby or year old who we had not seen, and spent a really fun morning with them, and then off to Andy Kerr Stadium to catch the Maroon, who were just got a suffocating defense, another shutout. They've had three shutouts this year, and they gave up a field goal in two other games. So they've, in their last five, they've given up 6 points, and they're undefeated in the Patriot League. So that was lots of fun. And then there was lots of tailgating. One of our partners, Joe Caprio and Patty, and they got great tailgating scene in the parking lot between the arena, the gorgeous new first game I've seen in the new arena, and skaters went out and the second game of the season they swept New Hampshire 2-1 Friday night, came back 2-1 on Saturday afternoon. Absolutely fabulous. Then on Sunday, Tina and I toured a few potential facilities for a rehearsal dinner and a brunch with her eldest, with Zachary, getting married next June. Very thoughtfully didn't book the wedding for Belmont Day. No, we give Zach and Andrea high marks for picking a later weekend in June. But Tina and I wanted to get out ahead of it. So the Brewster Inn in Cazenovia, which I hadn't been to in years, just gorgeous, right on the lake in Caz. For those of you who have ever been through, you know Cazenovia is lovely. And looked at a couple of other options, including a vineyard, and it's got like a nice party space. So we really had a pleasant weekend. And then Tina, who drives very thoughtfully, drove home and let me catch up with everything that went on this weekend. So part of that, as I mentioned, the state bred action. And I want to slip that in because why not? They deserve it. And that includes what went on at Charlestown. The big card, I mean, really a nice, as always, the slate, the Breeders' Classics. And you know, Javier, we talked to Javier Contreras about late night powwow after the nice win in the Oaks, and she's a serious filly, and she came back in the Cavada, wins an exciting one. You had Tim Graham sent out Running to Love You to win the Classic under Oscar Flores. And you know, both, and there's a horse, there's a stallion. I've got to ask Sid on Wednesday. Fibersond, the sire of both Late Night Powwow and Running to Love You, and obviously gets runners, no doubt. the Dash for Cash, Scythe, a Smarty Jones, Leslie Condon, and Victor Rodriguez, first stake win for Scythe. The Division of Tourism, Dennis O'Cork, who gets his share of winners down there. Dennis O'Cork, who was a... I've got a Dennis O'Cork shoe that Davey Carroll was nice enough to... I was... that year, before he finished third in the Derby, I went to see Davey, and Dennis O'Cork was getting shoed, and I ended up with a Dennis O'Cork shoe. So, one of those collectibles that you put a little tag on it, and I got it in a plastic bag. I do have these wooden, you know, there's these wooden blocks. John Parada gave me some of these. It's a wooden block that is shaped like a hoof, basically, inverted hoof, and you can put a shoe on it. You can, you know, and make, you know, put a plaque on and whatever, and you know, I guess you see shoes displayed as well. You know, you'll see, especially, you know, the most desired and, you know, the most famous type horses. But anyway, Dennis O'Cork, Jay Armstrong trained and Louis Batista rode for Spring Lass to win that Division of Tourism. The Lottery, Buffeye's View, the Buffum, David Walters, and George Montano. Montano won a pair, actually. One for Ollie. No, did he win for Ollie Figgins? No. He won the Onion Juice, Follow the Notion. And Jeff Runco, always competitive on the circuit. Battleground Star won the Triple Crown Nutrition. With an Astrology Battleground Star. That was with Arnaldo Bocachica. And he also won the Distaff with the T-Rex Express, Warrior's Reward. Philly and Almodovar aboard. And I mentioned Ollie Figgins. Burn and Ring of Fire. The Limehouse won the Mascarelli with one with J.D. Acosta. So there was your West Virginia action, and they had nice full fields, and you had a nice variety of prices, including that Scythe who paid $40. And he was 20-1. It was a 5-year-old. That's Marty Jones. There was some good mutuals. This must have been a fun evening Saturday night for those that because the field size was very good. This was a nice card. And then in Ohio, what did we say? The over under? What did Marty and I set? I think we set 2.5. I think Luch only the two wins on the card for Ron. Mo Don't Know won the Endurance. And this was the Best of Ohio sequence, and Mo Don't Know ran off at 2-5 for Luch, but he also won the third level allowance race with Funnel Cake. Who doesn't love a good funnel cake? The sprint went to Altissimo. This is a nice horse. Richard Zielinski won easy 4-5, and you had Drill It win the Galbraith for Doc Gorham. I haven't talked to Dr. Gorham in a long time. Bob Gorham. T.D. Houghton aboard, won by 16 lengths. And being on the front end was the way to go, certainly at Thistledown on Saturday. Diamond Dust, another wire-to-wire winner, won off by four. Diamond Dust won the Juvenile for Tim Hamm. This is a horse that he bred in partnership with Windstar. A Painter gelding, 2-year-old. And I've told you Mo Don't Know, Scott Spieth. And John McKee, mild upset. And this, I don't know, because Ron had let us know about Heaven Has My Nikki. She went off favorite, even money, and kind of just went around and ended up fourth off the board. Take Charge Delilah for Star Ladies and Tom Drury. What did I tell you? What did I tell you last week when we had Gleyshaw? There would be a bookend, and that Tom Drury would show up. Sure enough, there's Drury winning. I love it. There's Drury winning the Best of Ohio Distaff. So a nice, nice sequence at Thistledown, too, on Saturday. And more state-bred action this weekend. New York on Saturday, as well as Oklahoma Friday night. The Oklahoma Classics. I was lucky enough to be there for one. Remington, a lot of fun. Let's take the break here. When we come back, we're going to visit with Joe Sharp. Looking forward to it. And Marcus Hirsch is going to join us hour three today. And Marcus, a opportunity to survey his categories, the turf and juvenile turf action. And Marcus, of course, keeps very close tabs on the international set. So we can get a good read. I promise we'll get around to all the DRF Breeders' Cup division correspondence. And that's, we talked to Nicole Russo on Friday, and Steve Anderson will be back. He was away. He was home visiting in Illinois. He's back this week, so we'll talk to Steve Anderson. It's also good for the international perspective. We'll get things rolling next. Joe Sharp and Rusty Arnold in this half hour. Johnny D., David Simcock, Mike Maker, Natalie Fox, Marcus Hirsch, and Guy Torsalieri. That's a lot of horse talk. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all. Remember this house. This was some land that he worked by hand. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. It was a love that I was proud of. This is the life that he planned. All the love, the same old love. In the house that Jack built.
We're back at the races. Bottom of hour one. And it's funny. Sometimes, you know, when I'm picking, who am I going to call and who do I want to reach? You don't necessarily have to win the biggest races of the weekend, but when you win four out of eight starters between Friday and Sunday, and you win at Belmont and Keeneland and Woodbine, that's how he determined that I wanted to get Joe Sharp in here, who we didn't get a chance to talk to, I think, since about mid-year. And after sending out Divine Mischief in the Ruling Angel yesterday, and Keeneland and Maiden Winners and all kinds of good stuff going on, Joe, congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. I was just thinking this morning, I said, man, it's been too long since I talked to Steve. Must have been a quiet second half of the year.
Yes and no. You're winning at a terrific clip, and it seems like, you know, there's a number of horses, in fact, like Divine Mischief, who have been kind of knocking on the door and moving forward slowly, and you picked out a great spot for her yesterday.
Well, you know, a lot of that actually, I mean, it was, you know, she's been a filly we've obviously thought a lot of from day one. She's kind of just always aimed to please, and she just did not like to slop at Churchill the time before. And, you know, Mike, racing manager for Breeze Easy, actually, you know, was pretty adamant about going to Woodbine. And, you know, the more we got to looking at it, it did make sense timing-wise. And I was actually able to work her on the synthetic training track at Keeneland the week prior to her going up there. And, you know, I was on her myself, and she seemed to really like it. So gave us a little more confidence, you know, shipping up there. So, you know, we were really proud of her effort yesterday.
And you know, when you look at her, you know, she's buying into Mischief, but it's the Vicar Mare that probably gave you some inspiration for, you know, for a synthetic, the quasi-turfy action and everything that we kind of assume these days about what synthetic does for a horse.
Well, you know, I mean, and like I said, that family, obviously, she's a fold of Vickers in trouble. So, you know, she has the same kind of heart that he did, and you know, that mare obviously rates pretty high up there in my book as far as producer is concerned. But yeah, no, she's, you know, that's the kind of filly she'd run down the asphalt if you asked her to. She's just that kind of horse.
Well, this was a horse that was cut out. I mean, at for $450,000, going back to the Gulfstream sale last year, as a 2-year-old in training, and she's got one of those patterns, Joe, that it is very, for a horse player, it is kind of fun, because you started her and you know, she kind of got an experience, and then she came right back in her second career start and she wins. Then she faces Winners, and you know, she gave a game effort, got beat at the wire, and then in her second try at allowance, she clears that condition. So it feels like she's just progressive, and there's plenty of upside going forward.
Yeah, she is. And I mean, she, you know, like I said, she's a filly that we took her to Charlestown to prep her for the Charlestown Oaks, and she won over the bull ring there. And, you know, she, like I said, she's pretty much done everything we've asked of her. And, you know, she's been ultra consistent. I think she's only been off the board one start in her career. So, you know, she's just been a fun kind of filly that just, like I said, shows up pretty much every time you lead her over.
What happened, in fact, you know, I just noted that Javier Contreras won again with that nice filly, that late night powwow that won the Oaks. How was there something amiss coming out of that prep for the Oaks?
No, you know, we cross-entered her at Churchill, and we cross-entered in the Charlestown Oaks. And the race at Churchill, you know, I think we were 4-1 morning line, and let's seemed like an easier spot, and we were walking over from our stall to the paddock. So, you know, we had a discussion, the owners and I, and we decided that it looked like the softer spot of the two was to stay home at Churchill. And about an hour prior to post, the skies just opened up and, you know, became a sloppy racetrack, which, you know, we'd never tested her over, so it was, you know, unknown for us. But in hindsight, you know, I think she'd have been better shipping over to Charlestown and running on a dry track, because she just did not care for the slop that day at Churchill. And basically, we just were trying to cherry pick the softest spot for her.
That's funny, and how that, you know, that's part of this game. You just shake your head and you say, all right. And look, at the very least, you learned that you don't necessarily want to send her out, over a wet surface going forward. I mean, it gives you, at least you learned something.
And it's like I said, I'm going to chalk it up to that because that's the only bad race she's thrown, so.
What do you look at, next? Is there anything that's on the calendar?
We'll talk about it. I mean, the Phillies, had a pretty good campaign so far. Might be a good time to freshen her a little bit for next year. So it'll be a discussion we'll have, between the owners and I the next couple of days, and we'll make a decision. But I wouldn't be against giving her a little bit of R&R, but at the same time, she comes out of it well, as I assume she will. If there's the right race that we might point towards, then we'll do that. So we're kind of up in the air with that.
Getting
a safe win behind her is definitely for her. You can kind of take a deep breath and look at things differently now that you have that already on behind her.
Absolutely. Well, and you mentioned the Vickers in trouble portion of this. At what point, as she matures, do you want to stretch? You want to stretch her out? Do you think she's got that aptitude?
Yesterday she really showed a good, dynamic to be able to close like that. I don't think she probably wants to go much over a mile. Having said that, I wouldn't be afraid to try it when she comes, as she comes back as a 4-year-old. And, I think it's definitely waters you have to test to show that you don't want to do it, if that's the case. But I think everything points to definitely giving it a try at some point.
Well, Divine Mischief, new stake winner. Louis Contreras got the call. That's another aspect of her. She sure doesn't care who's on her back either. She runs for everybody.
Yeah, she takes the flavor of the week. That's for sure.
I love it. Well, let's also talk about everything else. I mentioned, four wins between Friday and Sunday at three different venues. Because in addition to the Woodbine win, Mo Wheels Up yesterday at Keeneland, and then on was it on must have been on Saturday?
Saturday was Missile Bomb.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Missile Bomb at Belmont, just part of the sequence. And going back to Friday, Team Colors, who you poached, and was a nice acquisition.
Yeah, that's a horse. Actually, we were out shook on him the first time at Saratoga for 50 off of Jerkins early in the meet, and then when Deodoro ran him back for the 62.5. We went back on him on the raise. Just a horse that seemed that he would really fit our program, and hopefully develop back into a graded open stake horse. And we got him back, and we really liked him, and just kind of waited, spotted him at Keeneland, and Adam gave him a real patient ride. But just a neat horse. Actually, the day we claimed him back, he unseated the rider, and obviously it was okay, but. Kind of left us up in the air when we claimed him, it's not like you claimed him and he ran out of the TV screen for 62,000. So we had to kind of get him back and make sure we were still as high on him. And as every work and every day we spent with him, he just kind of came to light the horse a little more. So.
Well, and that's the fun. That's what having a guy like Brad Grady as an owner, when you can say let's go get this horse for 62.5 and you've got a ready made a serious upper level allowance horse at the very least to have some fun with.
Brad's obviously not a huge supporter, and he and I have had a lot of luck together from day one with those kind of situations and those kind of horses, so it's kept him coming back for more at the same at that level. And you never know when you're going to get the next Triple Chelsea.
Well, exactly. And 92 buyer in there on Friday, by the way, for him, if you hadn't gotten the fig.
I had not yet, so that's good. Thanks for the update.
Not at all. Let's talk a little bit about Mo Wheels Up, who breaks the maiden on Sunday.
Yeah, she's a filly that Scott Dilworth and I actually, he took me out to McAthens when we were in Ocala for the sale this winter, and to see her train, and You know, I was impressed with her from day one. I know the guys at the farm were impressed with her. And she's a big, light-frame filly that, you know, was kind of just we've taken our time with. We were really high on her first time out at Saratoga, and she got loose going to the starting gate, and we ended up winning it with her stablemate, Lady TNT, instead. And then first time stretching out at Churchill, last time, the one-turn mile, she led every jump, and it was the first day of the meet, and the track seemed to be a little bit tiring and not as speed-favoring. So we were looking for a big effort yesterday. Obviously, the flop was an unknown, and we had to withstand an objection. So, but a real nice filly that I think is definitely going to be appreciative of her three-year-old year, more so than her two-year-old year, as she gets develops and fills out.
Now, Mo wheels up, and I don't know if it's just coincidental or what, but there's just been a steady supply the last, I'm going to say 3 weeks. I'm going to have to look this up, and you can do it with all the breeding statistics and resources now. Uncle Mo has gotten, I'm going to guess, 8 or 9, maybe let's say 7 or 8 maiden winners in like the last 3 weeks. It you just, you know, certain things as you're going through PPs and charts, and this was always cut out to be a nice filly because Smarty Deb was a very nice winner out of the Pacific Northwest, the Smart Strike Dam. So Mo wheels up. I would imagine there's good things yet ahead.
Yeah, there are, and like I said, she has all the characteristics of being a better 3 year old, and talent wise, she's been at the top of our list as far as the 2 year old crop goes from the time she walked in the barn. So.
Now, I got to ask you, you got a couple of maiden efforts, and of course you've got Syrenusa coming up in the Valley View at the end of the week. But I wanted to ask about Moms on Strike and where you stand now.
Mom's doing well. She's had another breeze at Keeneland this week, and we're pointing for the filly and mare turf at Churchill. So that's that's going to be our main goal. We, you know, obviously she won't run between now and then. So I know we're going to be on the bubble to get in, but it seems like as of now, it's looking pretty positive for us to be able to get in, and that'll be her final race on the year. So that's our end goal. That's been our end goal since she won the Bewitched, and hopefully,
good.
Hopefully she can deliver on a turf course that she's proven over and in her own backyard. So.
Yeah, because I know when you say on the bubble, I mean, I've got a list of them right now, and she is number 15, but, it wouldn't take much. Lauren's might run in the mile. That would get you in. We'll see about Albertrani and what he wants to do with Lady Montour, and I don't think Kedora necessarily is going. Gosden is waiting for a decision on Coronet, and God Given, Kumani, also is not fully committed. So it's only going to take one horse probably to get you in.
Right. So we're going to hang our hat on that and hope for the best. And, she just had a phenomenal year. And we're looking forward to, one more big effort out of her and then giving her a well-deserved break.
Let me turn our attention. I wanted to confirm that everything was good there. You've got a hat full of potential starters coming up this week. Let's start with Syrenusa, though, and talk about the Valley View.
You know, Syrenusa kind of threw us for a loop last time at the race in Indiana. It was her first time over a soft turf course, and she just never really got a hold of it from the time the gates opened. Which obviously moving into this week with the weather I'm looking outside at right now, is a concern because, the turf's taking a lot of rain this week, and in the fall it doesn't dry out quite as quickly. So,
no.
That would kind of be a decision I'll have to make with, Barry and Joni, whether we want to chalk the last one up as, experience and try it again, or if we want to try and duck the soft turf and scratch and wait for another day. But as an individual, she's doing fantastic. Works have been good, and we're coming into the race physically very confident. But my concern is the surface. So,
Well, if things end up okay, and the weather is supposed to get a little better as the week goes on, so if she does run, there is potential for the sharp butts out late double, because coming right back in the 10th would be the second timer, another Into Mischief. This is sharp prospect, and something tells me second career start off of a solid career debut, that she's very live, is going to have to deal with the outside post, but it's 7 furlongs, and that is not a negative necessarily going 7/8.
Yeah, I was honestly happy to see him draw outside versus being down inside like he was first time out. He kind of got a real inside trip, and we've been very high on the horse, you know, since we started with him as well. But he's big and kind of just mentally going to be one of those that you knew he wasn't the kind of horse that was just going to scream first time out and win. But he is going to be a very nice horse, and I think the 7/8 would be as ideal for him second time out. And if he works out a little bit better of a trip with a little bit being a little bit more engaged early, as most second time starters would tend to be, I think he'll be real tough in that spot. We've been pretty high on him from day one.
Well, he was a yearling purchase, Keeneland September last year, and just 90,000 coming out of an unbridled mare, actually, that has been productive. She's had plenty of winners, the damn Boomtown Girl.
Yeah. Well, you know, and she's an older mare, so I think that kind of that scares some people off. But I think as long as an older mare is bred to a stallion like Into Mischief, I think it puts that old theory puts it to the test. I think that most of the time, in my opinion, I think a lot of times the older mares seem to get are bred to lesser stallions. So I think as long as they're still in fold of stallions such as Into Mischief, they can still produce a horse that's a runner. So.
Well, she was the Boomtown Girl herself, the unbridled mare. She was a stake winner, and multiple stake winner, actually. Tiffany Lass and won the Mesquite Mile at Lone Star, placed in the Dogwood, multiple graded stake placed as well. And she's been productive. So this is fun. This will be a fun horse to follow. Sharp prospect. Friday in the nightcap, outposted for the Butzows and Joe Sharp. Joe, plenty of good things happening, and Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf for Moms on Strike, and always great to catch up with you, and we'll see you at Churchill.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call.
Not at all. Joe Sharp, everybody, and a bunch of good things happening, and you can see the nice steady progress the way Joe's handling them, and Divine Mischief. Quite okay, and that Uncle Mo too. These are all horses that are, you know, cut out to be nice. Let's slip away and come right back. Rusty Arnold. I want to get Rusty in here and talk about his weekend or week, because he of course won the Jessamine with Concrete Rose, who absolutely kind of lived up to the hype. We had talked about her coming in off of that impressive Saratoga maiden breaker. And then Morticia ran third. Morticia was third on Friday. And actually haven't... Did we talk about... Yeah, I mentioned that the Chantalain won the Buffalo Trace on Friday for Steve Asmussen, Ricardo Santana, the Majestic Perfection daughter, Chantaline. Rusty Arnold joins us. We'll catch up with Rusty next. Johnny D to follow, and much, much more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.